Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got a wonderful conversation for you. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all those affected in Texas. This episode is also dedicated in memory of Sergeant Stephen Perez, 60, who died trying to help all those in need that he could. Also on the conversation, North Korea has fired another missile. Surprise. What's going on with it? And what's being done about it? Also, a movie theater is no longer going to air after like 34 years. Gone with the Wind. Because, you know, that's kind of offensive stuff there, you know. I mean, I don't understand, you know, what's next. Citizen Kane? I don't understand. Also, I didn't realize that MTV, that no longer airs music videos, still has the Music Video Awards. And during one of the commercials, they did a F Trump song. It was like, the whole thing was like a supporting Antifa, bashing Trump. F anyone that is not support Black Lives Matter type thing, which, I mean, I thought a VMA Awards for a channel that has, like, my Super Sweet 16. I'll get into that. Also, men are offering free water in Rockport, Texas, to anyone going by, and others from the Texas Rio Grande Valley, and the outpouring of support is just amazing. Also, I want to get into on Sunday, Jason Chavez compared President Trump's pardon of Joe Aprico favorably compared to Obama and the 1,700 people he released, you know, like house burners and molesters and all kinds of bad people. Wow. I always liked Charles in Charge. I thought that was a cool show. I remember that because, you know, I thought he always was in charge, you know. But then I'm like, well, is he in charge or is Tony Danza the boss? So who's really in, I don't know. I love that show. And to know that Scott Baio is like hugely conservative and he's saying the right things at the right time. You know, we're a 200-year-old country plus. We have a history of good and bad. I want to get into what he had to say. That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of, folks. In Deuteronomy 31:8, NLT. Okay. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And I hope you do. And I thought some prayers go out to all those affected in Texas. And, you know, Joel Osteen's been accused of, I think it's a Trumper kind of thing because, well, if, you know, when he was asked about, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to these people in Houston, he could have said when he was tweeting and stuff like that, he could have said, well, we're looking into helping Houston, but until we want to figure out what our strategy is, how we can best be of use to Houston and the surrounding communities. But when he wouldn't say, okay, we're opening up the doors right now, everyone, you know, they just automatically assumed, including myself, that like, what, they're not going to do anything? Because I thought he would have at least said, hey, we're talking about what, as a church, we can do, and go from there. You know, I mean, I think Trump has done an amazing job. He came out in the very beginning and said, hey, guess what, folks? This is going to be a disaster. He declared it before it was. We need to do what we can. We need to prepare. I mean, but, and I was talking to a couple of my colleagues, and they're like, well, hey, this is, you know, they need to pay for, some of these people need to pay, okay? If you, well, we got three cats, so we're not going to leave our home, and then you have to be rescued. Where do you go, though? I mean, but it's kind of like, from what I've been told about, like, the Lakewood Church, is they don't really have, like, kitchen facilities. So, okay, yeah, we can put cots and give you a place to sleep, but you know, we're not going to be able to serve people unless we have outside makeshift, like, kitchens and stuff, and they bring, like a grill and stuff. It's a disaster of this magnitude has to be Trump's fault. I mean, you know, if Hillary Clinton would have gotten president, we wouldn't have Hurricane Harvey. It wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have all. Now, this is a problem of mass. There, I mean, you can't prepare for something like this. You're going to have, I know what it's like when lightning hit my parents' house and they were displaced. How hard it was. And put that on a grand scale of thousands and thousands of people. You got to understand, probably 4,000 or 5,000 homes at the bare minimum that are gone. That if they're standing, they're a washout because they have been flooded. So you're on the roof and you're a foot away from the river of water. I mean, this is something that they might not talk about after 2 weeks on the news, but it's going to affect those communities for years. Just like when a tornado goes through and devastates, okay, there's 500 homes gone. They have nothing but their lives. Okay, where are you going to house these people for the year until they get their life back in order? They have nothing. Nothing. Their life and Jesus Christ. I got two things. But just keep them in your prayer. In your prayers every day. I'm just glad we have a president that's doing something and showing a presence before this disaster and even after. Being there, saying, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to pat each other on the back and say, great job, until we're done. I'm dedicating this hour of the program and this show to a Houston police officer who basically told his wife, you know what? He died. You know, a Houston police officer had been confirmed dead after he drowned in floodwaters from Tropical Storm Harvey that left him trapped in his vehicle. He basically told his wife, he goes, you know what? He could have skipped work, but he goes, no, I got a job to do. I got people to save. I got stuff to do. Because his wife tried to convince him not to go, and she goes, no, I got a job to do. This is, you know, my job isn't about me. My job is about helping others, you know. I mean, me and my wife know firsthand about helping people and helping others, because that's what we do for a living, you know. someone changed your diapers growing up. Sometimes it was my mom, sometimes it was Mel. But now I go out of my way and help others. And this man was selfish. Hey, I can't get a stay at home, so no, I got to be there for my family. No. And he gave up his, he gave him himself to give back to the people of whom he served. And for that, we are eternally grateful for people like that. And that's why I want you tonight when you're saying your prayers before you go to bed, or maybe you're waking up and you're saying your prayers before you go to work, think about his wife and his family and all those in Houston. You don't have to live in America where, you know, what did Ronald Reagan say? Amazing how much our differences would shrink if there was an alien presence among us. What if there's one now? You know, we need to put aside this ill will and this Jerry Springer TV show that America's in right now. We're all human beings. Just remember 9/11 when Muslims were helping Jews and everyone was helping everybody. Even a furniture store chain said it's thrilled to open its doors to shelter victims. It's not like they're going to be able to sell to anybody right now. Oh, your house is 5 feet underwater? Well, we can sell you. No. They opened up their doors to 400 plus survivors when the owner saw Jim McGavel, owner of the furniture gallery. He saw a 7-year-old girl, like, where do we do? Where do we go? And she asked if they could just come there and stay. And he felt so moved by it that he opened up the doors to anybody. I can tell you, I'd buy from him. I'd help him. I'd be there for him. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to open up his doors, but hey, that's what we do. We help each other in this country. I mean, I just wish it didn't take a hurricane for people to do this for other people. That's how it is, you know. And I think it's one of these things that when you look at this effect that we have, we need to look at this coming together as a nation beyond tragedies. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, you know, because that furniture store is doing a great thing. And some of that stuff gets unlooked, because there's some things that happen like that when there isn't a disaster. And we need to look past disasters in terms of, we should be like this, helping each other all the time. So, just keep everyone in Texas in your thoughts and prayers. I'm going to get into this because this is kind of controversial, but I support it 1,000,000%. A Georgia school is under fire for taking 6-year-olds to a gun range, and we're not talking preschoolers. We're talking first and second graders, and they all had permission slips that were signed. Their parents supported it, and they held unloaded, like, what was it? One was like a Winchester rifle. Yeah, one was a 1894 Winchester rifle and a six shooter from the same era. You know, I mean, it's what I learned in school, the three R's. reading, writing, and revolvers. But it's one of those things that when you look at stuff and you think about things, and you just got to pause life and say, okay, all that's going on. Because, you know, if you so many times we just skip through and we don't pause anything and we don't read the fine print and realize, well, all these have permission stuff. All the parents approved of them. They were, you know, we need to educate people. I want, you know, they need to know, okay, yeah, this is a revolver. This is how you handle this. This is what you do. Because maybe if they come upon a gun, they'll know to respect it. That's the problem. We haven't taught respect in this country. That's why kids, when they turn 21, they go to the bar. Okay, I got five fifths of Everclear. Let's drink it. Let's drink it as fast as I can until I die from alcohol poisoning. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's just see how effed up I can get. I got 10 kegs. I'm just gonna do all the kegs and drink one after another until I die. There's no respect. There's, you know, it's all or nothing. Okay, you know, that's how it is, because that's how people treat cannabis. Oh, well, no one can actually benefit from cannabis, you know. All you see is they try to push these people that here's a 50 trillion milligram bar of cannabis chocolate. I'm going to eat it and get all messed up and not know who I am. And instead of the person that goes, okay, this right here, so this is a 100 milligram sour diesel CBD. Yes, well, we have two. We have sour diesel CBD oil, and we have also a Charlotte's Web variety. And, you know, I recommend trying the sour diesel and seeing how see how it does with the pain. If you need to, we can get you the 250 milligram and try the Charlotte's Web and go from there. And stick that under your tongue, a little bit of that, and see how it helps you with your spasm. You know, they don't, you know, like I've been to a pain management clinic with my myopathy, and I always felt like a criminal. Because I always felt like, well, you can't take these pain meds and have anything to do with legitimately. You know, if you're doing it, you're a pill pusher or you're a user. You're either using them or you're selling them. There's not a legitimate need for them. And that's what we need to do. We need to educate kids, okay? This is a revolver. This is a dangerous thing. This can kill you. We're going to show you how to check to see if it's loaded or unloaded. Here's a handgun. We're going to show you how to see if it's loaded or unloaded. How to, if you come across one, what to do. So that you're educated. Because I'm pretty sure my wife, at some point in her life, was educated on guns and what to do. Maybe not. But there you go. And that's what we need. We don't get that anymore, you know? How dare we? See, but that's how it is. I remember, like, because I watch a lot of French news. I have friends and stuff, and they said, like, those party blowers that you blow and boop, and the paper comes out. Well, you have to be like 13 years old to use those, because when the paper comes back, you can get jammed in your throat. I don't get it. You know, it's just one of those, you know, well, teach kids how to use them properly and respect them, and maybe you won't have the issue. You know, teach kids that bottle rockets go into a bottle before you light them. That way you don't get caught on fire. It's things that you learn, and that's the problem we have in this world. Because so many people don't get that. They just don't. How dare you take sixth graders and show them guns? Oh, those kids should be taken away from the parents. Ma'am? Is that your kid? Did you sign that permission slip? No, you didn't. So shut up. You know, learn. That's what's wrong in this world. But I thank you all so much for tuning in to a conversation that actually supports educating kids. You know, I think educating them about the Islamic faith is dangerous. Why isn't that being stopped? You know, we're tearing down all these monuments. Why don't you tear down the William Jefferson Memorial? Why don't you tear down these? That, you know, I mean, I'm offended by it because it takes a someone that was a molester of, you know, having multiple women and groping women and all this stuff. It glorifies someone that was having more than one female. That offends me. We need to take down the William Jefferson Clinton Presidential Library. It's something we need to do. I'm offended by it. I mean, if you want to take down all this, if you want to erase our history, I mean, this is where we're headed, folks. Gone with the Wind screenings pulled from Memphis Theater for radically insensitive content. You know that Gone with the Wind is the only Civil War movie that doesn't have any war scenes in it. But a historic Memphis theater, which has shown Gone with the Wind screenings for 34 years, decided to remove the classic film from its schedule due to its radically insensitive content. Well, when I find that theater's address, I'm going to write them and tell them, well, I'm glad I found this on the news, and if you've decided to air that movie again, fine, but if you're still going to ban that movie, then I'll never go to that movie theater. Not that I live in Memphis, Tennessee, but if I ever go on that vacation, I'll make sure never to patronize that theater. That's me. That's who I am. You know, if you don't like what Chuck Woolery stands for, don't support him. Why I said Chuck Woolery, I have no idea. But, you know, if you don't like what Hobby Lobby stands for, don't buy from them. If you love what they stand for, buy from them. If you support Trump, boycott Camping World. It's common sense, folks. If you have money, spend it where you want to. I couldn't believe this because, you know, if history's taught us anything, it's taught us change is probably a good thing in some respects, because MTV doesn't show music videos anymore, and it's kind of a good thing because you don't need MTV anymore. You can watch almost any music video you want to at any time you want to, whenever you want, on YouTube. There you go. It's not necessary now. But, okay, they show my Super Sweet 16. I'm pregnant at 10. I don't know what that's the only things I'm and what do they have? A music video awards for what? I don't know. But it was basically a F Trump thing, because during a commercial break they had an F Trump song playing. You know, they had pro-Antifa songs, all this stuff going on. So, I don't know. I have no idea. But that's kind of how it goes. You know, music video awards on a channel that doesn't have music videos anymore. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it kind of sounds like Democrats. Oh, wow. It's just how this world is anymore, because we got to erase all our history. Because why do we got to erase our history? Because we have to erase our history, because we have to, because it's going to fix everything. Because blacks are magically no longer going to have been hung in trees. And, you know, the Native Americans are, we're not going to have been driven from their land. And all the history is going to reverse itself if you erase it all. So that is where we're at, folks. Oh, you gotta love video technical difficulties. It's kind of how it is when you try to watch things on. Because I don't want to read this article, and I'll have a video on it on my computer, and the video with the article doesn't even go along with the article. It's like diamonds. What do diamonds? I'm not. This is a video about. No, I'm trying to read about this cop that died and what happened. That's how it goes, folks. But don't worry, it's all good. North, the DPRK is firing missiles near Japan. And the East Sea, South Korean media has said, and, you know, I mean, something's got to be done. Something's got to be done, folks, because they just seem to be like a thorn in the side. Like, I got a thorn in my side and I can't find it, and or you get like something stuck in your shoe and something's sticking me in the foot and I don't know what it is. That's kind of how I feel, you know. North Korea, something's got to be done to say, hey. But it's going to be like anything, you know. If we do something first, he's going to get blamed for attacking when nothing and when they hadn't done anything to us. But then if they attack first, they'll be like, well, so he didn't attack. He see, we had all this warning and he didn't do anything. If I'd be on the, I'd love to be on like MSNBC or one of those. I'd be like, you want to know something? Okay, so if Trump was to, so if North Korea attacks us, are you going to blame Trump for not doing anything when he had all these warning signs ahead of time to try to stop North Korea? Because I can tell you, if he was to do something right now and take military action to try to stop North Korea, we would have you guys harping, here we go, another Republican, another war. You know how that goes. He won't be able to win no matter what he does. But that's just how it goes, you know? I mean, this North Korea and Kim Jong-un thing is scary. Because to me, he's like a young kid that just got his finger on the trigger. I mean, you talk about Trump and having the codes. I feel more concerned about that dude having the codes to do what he's going to do. He's kind of like a little kid that has free range. There's lots of talk about, is North Korea seeing how bad they have it and now he's trying to unite the country? Are they, do they have a choice? You know, what's really going on here? And I said, and I believe, honestly, I think it's a little bit of, he's a psycho lunatic on top of the fact that he's a psycho lunatic. He's trying to unite the country by saying, hey, these people are very evil. You have to take out the evil power and unite the country. I think it's funny. And just like I was talking about with this North Korea thing, that if Trump was to say, okay, we're gonna do some military action to show him that we mean business. Oh, another Republican, another war, but if they attack us first, well, look at all this documentation of all these things, and he didn't act. But I'd like to, you know, he's going to get blamed no matter what he does. And that's the problem. And just like with this Joe Aprico, this sheriff that he pardoned, he was profiling. Okay, you go down to the border of Mexico in Arizona, Texas, all that, you know, border-touching states. There's a 90% chance that if you walk upon a Mexican, he's probably not legal. There's a good chance. I'm not saying they're all illegal. There's a good chance they're not. And that's how it goes. That's how it goes, you know? Hey. Wow, he's profiling Latinos. Gee. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, this guy was an arsonist and burned down buildings. Oh, Obama will pardon him. He's a terrorist. Obama will pardon him. He's in Guantanamo Bay, and he helped, you know, not, he helped orchestrate 9/11. Oh, he'll let him go, but that's okay. You know, but this guy that was profiling Latinos, because down near the border, a lot of those are illegals. That's wrong. How dare he? That racist bastard. How dare he profile that Trump bastard? I don't know. That racist Trump, because he's against illegals. I didn't know that supporting illegals was racist, but supporting legals is racist. You know, if you support legals but you're against illegals, you're racist. I didn't, whatever. I've been called everything under the book, so I just laugh at it now. You call me racist, that's the best you got, racist? Seriously? Okay, whatever. Yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks to blacks who support a political party that 100% was against them having rights, 100% against them having their own bathrooms and being in ending segregation, was 100% against them being free and not being slaves, who was 100% for the KKK and founded it and started it. Yeah. Those black people that support that party is the one that says I'm racist. I don't know how anyone who's black can support a party that was 100% against you. Like I tell all my friends, just look at your history. Look at Hillary Clinton. She hated gays until she needed their votes, and then all of a sudden, gay marriage was the greatest thing ever. She didn't give two craps about gays. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's your history. Before you say that Joe Aprico is some evil man that was pardoned, look at what Obama pardoned. Look at what Hillary Clinton did. Look at who they pardoned. Look at who they let go. I love Scott Baio, because he was on Fox News and on Waters World, and he's like, this is where we're at, folks. We got the PC forces trying to censor everything they find problematic. He goes, we're a nation that's had many goods and many bads. Get over it. I'm not a perfect person. I've screwed up in my life. I think my wife is screwed up too. Everyone has. No one's perfect. Well, Jesus, he was perfect. But no one else is. We've all had problems. We've all done things wrong. I've said some things I regret. And I'm sure my wife has probably said things. Everyone has. There are things that have happened in this country that have happened. You know, we're a nation, a 200-plus-year-old nation of goods and bads. You know, what does that song go? You take the good, you take the bad, and here you go, and there you have the facts of life. Yeah. That's what I try to explain to my liberal friends. Okay, there are things that were the facts of life. Okay, a black was the first slave owner. That was a fact of life. Get over it. Blacks were hung in trees. Get over it. We told Native Americans they could have this land as long as the grass grew. Well, they were lied to. Doesn't make it right. But eliminating history and trying to make everything PC isn't going to fix anything. I'm like I've said before, show me a rose and I can probably tell you, okay, I'm offended by a rose because it has thorns in it, and thorns remind me of the killing of Jesus, and that offends me. Okay, let me see here. This is a clay hand that you can put rings on, you know, for a woman to store her rings on, okay? This offends me because, you know, it reminds me of the Black Lives Matter with their hands up. Anything you show me, I could probably find some way to find something offensive about it, how it's not PC. Oh, and this is a white hand. There's no, like, yellow or black or green, or this isn't a multicultural hand. It's just a white hand. It's racist in that regard, too. You know, I mean, I can find something racist about probably any word, anything. What makes something offensive to my wife or me doesn't necessarily mean it's offensive to anybody else. But, oh, we got to tear down all this stuff because I'm offended by all this stuff. I mean, give me, as Nell Carter said, give me a break. And that's where this world has come to. We're just one big Jerry Springer show. Hello, and welcome back to Jerry Springer. My next guest is the Democratic Party, folks. Holy cow. I mean, that's what I don't get. I don't understand where we ended up in this world to get to where we are. Because that's where we are. Everything offends everybody. You know, the Democrats want to claim that, oh, they support equality, but then again, they're against 99% of the stuff that we support. Just because I have the freedom to say that Hitler was great and Saddam Hussein was amazing doesn't make it right. Just because you have the right to not stand up for the national anthem, make it right. There were thousands upon thousands of Americans who have died, and people from many other nations to make America the country it is. So we have the freedoms we have.
But playing devil's advocate, we have the freedom to say, I don't want to stand for the nation. To say Hitler was great. To say Obama or Hussein was great.
Yep.
We have the same freedom to say it as not to say it.
Yep. And that's yep, because they wanna attack you for your, well, you can't, how dare you say that? But oh, they wanna bash Trump, but how dare you bash Hillary? See, what we need to do is we need to have a whole bunch of people going to these rallies supporting Hillary for the reasons that Trump is, you know. Oh, see, I support Hillary because she's going to hopefully carry on Barry Goldwater's legacy and resegregate America. Yeah. That's how it goes. I want to get into this because this is just an amazing story. The bride leaves seat for her dead son, empty, and cannot hold back the tears when she sees who shows up. Let's see if I can get this. I want to see if I can read this. I am in heaven for your wedding. So what shall I do? I'll come down. I can't read it because it's on the... It's a photo of like what she wrote. And I can't read it because it's in pink. It says, I will come down to earth to spend it with you. So give... I can't read it. It's pink and I can't, the photo doesn't have it written out. You'd think they would take what was written in the chair and have it written out, typed out, but they don't. But basically one of the guys that came down the aisle is alive because of donated organs that her son gave. And she got to meet a man who is alive today because when her son died, he is alive because of those organs, and it's just awesome that he is able to live on through others. And I just think it's so cool that that kind of stuff happens, that people will go out of their way and donate organs for people and do stuff along that line. So heart-wrenching, just to, it just tugs at the old heartstrings to see someone that, you know, that actually did that, and actually you can see stuff happening and a man alive, you know. It really is cool. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in from around the world and wherever you are tonight. You know, as the world knows, Houston has been massively hit. New Orleans is getting hit. You know, Joel Osteen is finally opening up his church, and everyone's going out of the way and helping out. And it's just something that I think it's just awesome that we see this outpouring of support, but, you know, we should always be there for our friends and neighbors. So, Trump said, we are one American family. We hurt together, we struggle together, we believe, and believe me, we endure together. So, it's something that I think's awesome. I mean, there have been people that are going down there with boats, and I'm just here to help try to rescue people. I don't live here, I don't do anything here, but hey. So, let me see here. We got about 13 minutes left in the program, folks. And it's nice to see that I don't really see, except for the media still harping on Russia, 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 I don't see a lot of negative coming out of this with Trump, you know, them, because, you know, they could say, well, he's there too early or too late or this or that. So, you know, it's just one of those things. When you do a lot of research and stuff, and what am I going to talk about, and this and that, and the number one thing on every news site and every news organization, everyone I talk to is Hurricane Steve Harvey, you know. This is crazy, but I want to get into this. The FBI supposedly shuts down requests for files on Hillary Clinton by citing lack of public interest. Okay. The FBI is declining to turn over files relating to the investigation of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails by arguing lack of public interest in the matter. Someone's paying them off. I mean, I'll be right here to tell you that I'm one of them that thinks she should be hung. I mean, we should have her on a video like Saddam Hussein. And call me crazy, but... Yeah, there's actually this one guy. It's so great because this just came over the wire, and this guy goes, "Yeah, I remember getting my official inquiry from the FBI regarding the public interest. Didn't y'all get your survey?" Well, I got my survey. Me and my wife did, man. Yeah, we said, "Nah, Hillary Clinton." B.I. is O. The FBI is officially a joke. Well, we at random picked two people and they both didn't know what they were talking about, so hey. Lord help Hillary Clinton. I don't know, but hey, don't worry, folks. Don't worry, folks. We didn't want her. Why do we care? I mean, we don't have any public interest in her. Are you kidding me? I mean, I could see if Obama was in office, we getting a response like that, but... Okay, it's time to use executive order to Trump and demand those files. And by the time you get the files, there'll probably be nothing there anyways, because, you know, she took a hammer to him, you know, an MC Hammer. I mean, when she came out to do, like rallies, I just wanted to hear, dun, 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 boop, can't touch this. Because that would be so fitting. FBI hits me so hard, makes me say, "Oh my Lord, thank you for deleting my email so I cannot get prosecuted." It's my Weird Al Yankovic version of Can't Touch This. But anyways. Okay, what do we got here? Let me see here. I'm going to move on to some English Premier League news, and holy cow. This is kind of interesting. This is what a lot of, there's been some people on the wire and stuff that have said that, okay, well, if you know last year, Mourinho tanked, not last year, but the year before, he tanked at Chelsea and they got rid of him. And there's a lot of people that said he had a checklist. Okay, here is my list. I want these five players. If he didn't get them, and I guess they didn't give them to him. And, okay, well, how can I expect to do anything when I ain't got no players when you won't give me anything? You know, and there's a lot of people that are saying, like, he needs to sit there. And if United doesn't do as great as they could, he could say, "Hey, I told you I wanted these six players or four players or whoever. You didn't get me what I wanted. Hey, I can only do as much as I can with what I'm given. I can't make miracles." And I'm one of those, I think it was last year when they said, you know, the fans of Crystal Palace would rather have a broke club and have winning team than have very rich club with losing team. I mean, United has the money. Why aren't we getting players? Why don't we have even Perisic? Why didn't we get Bale? Why don't we get some of these players? There are like many players that have said, "I want to come to United." Mourinho needs to sit there and say, okay, we're getting even Perisic. I don't care. We're getting these players. Yes, I told Bale he can come here. I don't care. You guys figure out how you're paying for him. He's coming to the club. But if he demands these players and these players don't, and they don't get these players here, how can you blame? If you give, and I've said this before, if you give a manager, I don't care who it is, you know, give David Moyes the ability to get whoever he wants. Get Mourinho the ability to get whoever he wants, barring you have the funds. Give Zinedine Zidane the ability to get whoever he wants. You know? Give Pepe Godoy the ability. We're going to give you all the players you want, Pepe. And if you don't get the title, we have no one to blame but you, because we gave you who you wanted. We weren't going to let you have these players, but you needed these to win. And you still didn't win, and you got these players. So what do you do? How do you handle that? How does that go? You know, and I've said that before. I think he can sit there and say, hey, I wanted these players. I didn't get them. This is the result of it. I mean, granted, we're first in the table with 9 points, but it's early in the season. Wait till we start having Premier League games and Champions League games, and we have 2 or 3 games a week. Then you're going to see who comes out and who is strong and who's not. So, there's like 2 days left in the transfer window, and I don't think we're going to get anybody else. Am I kind of mad? Yeah, because he, back in February / March, here's who I want. I mean, do they not want Mourinho? I don't know. I want someone that's going to be successful. Right now, he's doing a good job. I can't bitch when he got us into the Champions League. If we weren't in the Champions League and we were back in the Europa League again, I could say, hey, what did you get him for? We didn't improve. If he is improving and the club's doing great and we're winning, I can't complain. I may not be his biggest fan, but I can't complain too much because, hey, we're winning. You know, I wasn't going to dig here for gold. I was going to dig over here, but you're digging here and you're finding lots of gold, then, okay, I can't complain too much because, hey, we're making money. Now, if we go over here and find more gold, I could say, hey, we should have went, you know, hey, no, can't really bitch either because, hey, we're, you know, we're just as a metaphor, you know. But if we go over to where I wanted to dig and there's no gold, well, see, we should have went where I did because there was no gold where you were digging. I wanted to dig. But I mean, we beat Leicester City 2-0 on Saturday. Bournemouth got beat by Man City 2-1. Swansea beat Crystal Palace 2-0. Huddersfield Town, Southampton drew level at 0. Newcastle United beat West Ham United 3-0. Watford and Brighton and Hove Albion drew level at 0. Chelsea beat Everton 2-0. West Bromwich Albion 1-1 with Stoke City. Liverpool 4 over Arsenal. Tottenham and Burnley were level at 1. I mean, Arsenal, to me, I don't know why they kept Arsenal. They're not a team that I don't think, if they don't get rid of them this season at some point, the fans need to speak with their money and say, okay, hey, we're not going to go to games. I mean, what has he done for the club lately? Hardly anything. He got him a community shield. That's about all he's done in the last 8 years. To me, that does not justify keeping a manager. I just don't get why, when you have the money to spend, you don't give the manager and let him do what he does. And if he stinks, you can say, hey, we let it. That's what happened at Purdue University, where in the area where I live. They let the coach do what he did, and he stunk. And okay, yeah, you had it your way for 3 years, and bye bye, you couldn't do anything. A few seconds left in the program, folks, and you know, I've said this a million times. I'll say it, you know, I'm gonna leave it with this. They need to give him the players he wants, and if they're successful, praise him, and if not, he's the one to blame. But I really think, and I said this before in the United Stand several times, and I think we've got the players we've got, and that's who we got to live with. You know, we definitely need a winger, and we're not going to get one. I don't think we are. Even though there's like four players that I want to come here. But United ain't going to penny up the money for some reason. But remember, everyone, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortune. Until next Thursday coming up, good night and God bless. Goodbye.